Good day, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, March 10th, 2020. And we'll start with the front page of the commercial news. And our first story today is entitled Harwall Demolition on City Agenda. This is by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. It will soon be the end for the historic Harwall Hotel in the west downtown area. The City Council's Public Works Committee tonight will consider approving a $58,000 contract with Thomas Excavating of Danville for the demolition of the vacant building at 101 West Harrison Street. The structure is owned by the city and is dangerous and dilapidated, the city's resolution states. The demolition is within an area that is eligible for use of City Community Development Block Grant funds for spot removal of blight, also, according to the resolution. Last month, Danville Public Works Director Carl Carpenter said they received bids for the Harwall demolition ranging from about $25,000 up to $125,000. We're going over those pretty clear and making sure with the vendors that their numbers are correct, Carpenter said. It was April 2015 when the Harwall Hotel sign was removed from the side of the building to be put into storage. It was removed due to safety concerns over the deterioration of the brick building. In December 2014, the city boarded the windows in the four-story, 42-room building. The hotel, at Harrison and Walnut, which is how it got its name, Harwall, opened in 1928. A city directory from 1927 lists the Harwall Club, described as a bachelor's hotel and restaurant. The building was used as a hotel and cafe for years and was bought in 2002 by Eric Williams, who ran it as a transitional living facility for parolees. In 2007, the city deemed it uninhabitable because of numerous health and safety violations and not having electricity. A couple of years later, barricades were set up due to the falling glass and pieces of plywood. The city purchased the building through the Vermilion County Trustee tax sale in 2016. Also late that year, city officials reported there was a huge hole in the roof that was directly over the stairway, and the majority of plaster was on the floors and mold was growing in several places. Also tonight, there will be a National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System, or NPDES, program stormwater management public comment period. In other business, committee members will consider the following. Approving a contract for construction of Hazel and Fairchild Streets intersection improvements and amending the Midtown Tax Increment Financing District budget. City officials open bids for the project this morning. Appropriating $210,000 in motor fuel tax funds to rehabilitate the Voorhees Street Bridge over Lick Creek east of Michigan Avenue and approving project development Phase 1 engineering services for $78,700 with Farnsworth Group of Champaign. The city has applied for $1.06 million in special bridge funding for construction and construction engineering with a 20% city match of $265,200 required. Also, appropriating $230,000 in motor fuel tax funds to rehabilitate the Voorhees Street Bridge over East Fork Lick Creek west of Lynch, and approving project development Phase 1 engineering services in the amount of $78,700 with Farnsworth Group. The city has applied for $1.1 million in special bridge funding with a 20% local match of $291,800 required. And finally, approving the release of certain Public Works Committee closed session minutes and the destruction of certain Public Works Committee closed session tapes. Our next story is entitled School Funding, Voters to Decide on Sales Tax Increase for Education. and this is by Carol Rome. Danville. School districts around Vermilion County seek public support for a 1% increase in the countywide sales tax rate on the March 17th ballot after voters rejected the same proposal 2 years ago. A law enacted in 2007 allows school districts representing 51% or more of a county's student population to seek approval to assess an Illinois County school facility tax of up to 1%. 56 of 102 counties in Illinois assess a county school facility tax, including Champaign, Edgar, and Douglas counties in East Central Illinois, according to the Illinois Association of School Boards. The school boards of 10 Vermilion County school districts, not including Danville District 118, voted on a resolution late last year to place the county school facility tax issue before Danville and Vermilion County voters in a referendum on the March 17th primary ballot. The other county school districts did not need Danville's support because District 118 does not serve the majority of the students in the county. Due to a decline in student enrollment in District 118 since 2014, only 42% of the total number of students in Vermilion County attends District 118. In March 2018, the 1% county school facility tax garnered a narrow margin of support with Vermilion County voters, who cast 3,324 yes votes, or 50.21%, to 3,296 no votes, or 49.83%. Voters in the city of Danville, however, voted down the measure that would have increased Danville's sales tax rate to 10.25%. Danville voters cast 1,140 yes votes, or 36.68%, to 1,807 no votes. The total city and county votes on the state sales on the sales tax issue was 44-64 yes to 51-03 no. A simple majority vote is required for passage of the tax. Salt Fork Superintendent Phil Cox said he is optimistic local voters will approve the sales tax increase this time. "We've done a better job of educating the public," he said. "This is not a vote whether or not to raise the sales tax rate, but a vote whether to continue to solely rely on property tax to fund schools. I think more people understand how this tax will benefit the schools and provide property tax relief to the taxpayers," he said. The county school facility tax that would benefit school districts around Vermilion County also has its share of opposition coming from Danville, where a sales tax rate increase would make the city's sales tax one of the highest in the state. If approved by voters March 17th, the 1% county school facility tax would increase Danville's sales tax rate to 10.25% from 9.25%, making it the same amount as sales tax charged in the city of Chicago and several Cook County suburbs. By comparison, the sales tax rate in both Champaign and Urbana is 9%. Proponents of the county school facility tax say the idea behind raising the sales tax rate is it's something everyone pays, including Vermilion County residents who don't own property and non-residents who visit or work in the county. Salt Fork Superintendent Phil Cox said, "It allows people from outside of our area to contribute to funding our schools, such as people who live in Indiana who shop here, people who visit the Oakwood truck stops, and people who attend Danville High School's Midwest Classic, ball games, and tournaments. It comes down to an equity issue," he said. "Either our citizens are funding our schools, or everyone is funding our schools. If the sales tax rate increase is approved, all goods and services that currently fall under the municipal and county sales tax base would start being charged at the 10.25% sales tax rate effective on July 1st. Exceptions from the higher sales tax rate would include licensed and titled vehicles, boats and RVs, mobile homes, unprepared food, drugs, including vitamins and over-the-counter medicine, and farm equipment and parts. Danville Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. has said he does not support the sales tax increase because it would tie us for the second highest sales tax in the state and hurt the revenue of every municipality in Vermilion County. School districts already receive a substantially disproportionate percentage, more than 50%, of property taxes levied and must be good stewards of what they are already given, Williams said in January. Although Danville District 118 would benefit the most from the sales tax increase by receiving about $2.27 million in new revenue each year, District 118's board informally took a stand not to support the sales tax increase during a discussion at its August 21st school board meeting. However, Derice Hightower, president of the Danville Education Association, announced at a District 118 school board last month that she and some of the union's members support the county school facility tax and asked what the board planned to do with the windfall if voters approve the sales tax rate increase. "There are a lot of DEA members not in favor of it," she conceded, "but every other county school district union supports this. We're supporting our brothers and sisters." "The biggest thing is, what are they going to do with the money?" she said of District 118. "We deserve to know what they're going to spend it on." Hightower had her own suggestions of what the district could do with the extra revenue from the tax. "We need more social workers," she said. "If we had more money, maybe we could get more social workers." "The high school is the keystone of the community, so why hasn't that parking lot been fixed?" she said. "We need air conditioning that works at Southview Upper Elementary. There are a lot of ways the money can be spent." "There are safety issues we could be spending the money on," Hightower said. "There's plenty of projects that Buildings and Grounds Director Mr. Truex could come up with to spend the money on." Edgar County and Champaign County, they have the tax and they have new schools, she added. In the 2 years since the sales tax issue came before Danville and Vermilion County voters, the law has been amended to expand how the county school facility tax revenue can be used. The sales tax revenue can now be used to pay for school security and mental health services. The Illinois Department of Revenue would direct the county school facility tax dollars, which would generate a total of $5.4 million annually, to the Vermilion County Regional Office of Education, where it would be then distributed to the local school districts on a per-pupil basis. In Westville, the 1% sales tax would generate $600,000 in new revenue, or 11% of the total new sales tax collected for the district annually, according to Superintendent Seth Miller. Miller said if voters approved the sales tax increase, the Westville School District could reduce the amount of property tax it collects by 13%. In addition, the new revenue from the penny sales tax would allow the Westville District to provide new services and improve facilities. After property tax relief, some of the Westville District's priorities include contracting through the city for a full-time resource officer and funding some long-range facilities improvements. Miller said his district also would expand its early childhood offerings and build an auditorium at the high school. The 1% sales tax would generate $430,000 in new revenue annually for the Hoopston School District. Superintendent Robert Richardson said the extra money would be used to install air conditioning at John Greer and Maple schools, as well as reduce the property tax burden on homeowners within the school district. Richardson's list also includes upgrading and modernizing the HVAC systems Hoopston Area Middle School and Hoopston Area High School, installing airtight and efficient windows and doors, installing efficient lighting, installing video surveillance for student safety, and addressing aging facilities and building improvements. Salt Fork's share of the additional sales tax revenue would be $408,000 a year. Our biggest need is our engineers tell us we need to replace the heating system district-wide, and we need air conditioning and energy-efficient lighting and windows. And we would like to hire resource officers for each of our campuses, Cox said. It, the county school facility tax, will improve the school environment and make the schools safer for the students and our teachers, he said. We want to make sure voters know the positive impact it will make on our communities. And now we will turn to the obituaries for Tuesday, March 10th. And the first we have is for Arthur James Wolfe. Arthur James Wolfe, 79, of Catlin, Illinois, passed away peacefully at 9:10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Saturday, March 7th, 2020, with his family by his side at the Waters of Covington in Indiana. Funeral services will be at noon on Thursday at Robison Chapel in Catlin. Mike Strunga is to officiate. Burial will follow at Oak Ridge Cemetery in Catlin. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. to noon on Thursday at Robison Chapel. Memorials can be made to the Catlin Church of Christ or American Cancer Society. Barbara Jean Cochill Wilson. Barbara, or Barb, Jean Cochill Wilson, 88, of Covington, Indiana, died at 10:20 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Saturday, March 7th, 2020, at home with her husband Walter and sister Judy by her side. A celebration of life memorial service for Barbara will be held at 1 p.m. Eastern on Friday, March 13th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Covington, with Pastor Gary Johnson officiating. The visitation will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Friday prior to the service. Memorials can be made in her name to the American Cancer Society. Roger A. Biggs. Roger A. Biggs, 52, of Georgetown, Illinois, passed away at 12:15 a.m. Sunday, March 7th, 2020, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana, Illinois. A celebration of Roger's life will be at 11 a.m. Thursday, March 12th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Georgetown at 200 East West Street, with Pastor James Blue officiating. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 on Wednesday, March 11th, at the funeral home. He will be laid to rest in Georgetown Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be given in his name to Georgetown Library or Georgetown Fair Association. Jovan Sungale. Jovan Sungale, 79, of Catlin, Illinois, passed away at 6:07 p.m. Friday, March 6, 2020, at her home. In accordance with her wishes, no formal services will be held. Robison Chapel in Catlin is handling the arrangements. Nelda Kyleholtz. Nelda M. Kyleholtz, 86, of Danville, passed away on March 6, 2020, peacefully at her home. She was born on April 12, 1933, in Bonnets Mill, Missouri. A mass of Christian burial for Nelda will be held at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, March 11, 2020, at Holy Family Catholic Church, with Father Loftus officiating. Visitation will be held from 4 to 7 p.m. on Tuesday, March 10th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville, with a rosary beginning at 3:30 p.m. She will be laid to rest at Sunset Memorial Park. Nelda was a pro-life advocate and worker. Therefore, the family asks that memorial donations be made to the Women's Health Center at 200 West William Street in Danville, Illinois, 61832. St. Vincent de Paul, Carl Hospice Care, or Holy Family Catholic Church. Leo Bergeron. Leo Roger Bergeron, 81, of Covington, died at 6:04 p.m. on Friday, March 6, 2020, at home following an extended illness. Funeral services will be at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday, March 10, 2020, at Shelby Funeral Home in Covington, with Pastor Paul Kent officiating. Burial will be at Mount Hope Cemetery with military honors by the Navy and Perrysville American Legion. Visitation will be noon Tuesday until the time of services at 1 p.m. Memorials are requested to the disabled American veterans. Dolores Bland. Dolores Bland, 83, of Homer, Illinois, passed away at 7:47 a.m. Tuesday, February 25th, 2020, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana, Illinois. Private family graveside services were held at Woodlawn Cemetery, Indianola, with Pastor C.W. Greer officiating. Memorials can be made to Homer Fire and Rescue. Robison Chapel Catlin is handling the arrangements. Leslie or Les Hall. Leslie Les Hall, 90, of Catlin, passed away at 10:15 a.m. Friday, March 6, 2020, at VA Eliana Healthcare System in Danville. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. Wednesday, March 11, 2020, at Robison Chapel in Catlin. Chris Lawler will be officiating. Burial will be at Oak Ridge Cemetery in Catlin, with military honors by the Davis Busby Catlin American Legion Post 776. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. on Tuesday, March 10th, at Robison Chapel in Catlin. Memorials can be made to the Salt Fork High School. Howard Mann. Howard Mann, 63, of Hoopston, died at 10:46 a.m. Saturday, March 7, 2020, at home. Graveside services for the Marine Corps veteran will be at 11 a.m. Thursday at Floral Hill Cemetery, Hoopston. Burial will be in Floral Hill Cemetery. Blurton Funeral Home at 309 East Washington Street in Hoopston is in charge of the arrangements. Jordan Thorne. Jordan Thorne, 25, of Terre Haute, Indiana, formerly of Arcola, passed away at 8:28 p.m. Wednesday, March 4, 2020, as the result of a vehicle accident on U.S. Route 150 near Paris, Illinois. A memorial service will be held at noon on Sunday, March 22nd, at the Arcola Masonic Community Center at 111 South Locust Street in Arcola. Family will gather afterwards to visit with family and friends at the Masonic Center. The Edwards Funeral Home is assisting with arrangements. And that ends the obituaries for Tuesday. We'll return to another news story from the commercial news. This is entitled, Playground Work Starts at Winter Ellsworth. And this is by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. Two playgrounds in the city are seeing construction as spring weather approaches, causing some disruptions in where parents can take their children to burn off some extra energy. The Ambucks Playground for Everyone at Winter Park along Winter Avenue is closed. According to Danville Park Superintendent Steve Lane, city crews have removed some existing equipment located where the new equipment will be constructed. Schomburg and Schomburg Construction has the materials and will be starting any day on erecting the new equipment. The playground is scheduled to reopen in May. Restrooms will be open at that time. Water play will be turned on Memorial Day weekend as usual, Lane stated. New play equipment also is being constructed at Ellsworth Park. Residents are encouraged to visit playgrounds at Lincoln, Douglas, and Liberty Parks. Restrooms will open around April 1st, weather permitting. Fundraising has continued to update the Ambucks Playground for Everyone at Winter Park. Ambucks Playground for Everyone 2.0 is to update the almost 20-year-old playground. The universally accessible playground was a first of its kind when it opened in July of 2001. The goal is to have the playground update completed in spring of 2021 and have a grand reopening in May of 2021. Usage and weather have taken their toll on the playground equipment, and plans include adding a new play tower and slide and replacement of worn and faded play panels, new rubberized surface and benches, and powder coating railings. At Ellsworth Park, the city received a $373,900 open space lands acquisition and development grant from the Illinois Department of Natural Resources for a new restroom and concessions building, relocating the basketball court and playground, a new picnic shelter, disc golf, and a new field for football and soccer. The city is again receiving bids for the restroom concession building. Officials will open bids on April 9th. The Danville City Council rejected a bid for the Ellsworth Park restroom and concession building in January due to it exceeding funding. And from the Rediscover Danville column in the News Gazette, we have theaters offer great entertainment. Vermilion County is fortunate to have so many dedicated residents who have seen the potential in the development of former area movie houses. In northern Vermilion County, the Save the Lorraine Foundation was established in 2013 as a not-for-profit organization with the goal of preserving and operating the Lorraine Theaters in Hoopston. The original Lorraine Theater at 324 East Main in Hoopston is nearing its 100th anniversary and has operated during most of those years in spite of changing hands many times through the years. In 1988, Greg Boardman and Jim Franklin purchased the building and added Dolby sound speakers, an 8-channel Sony Dynamic digital sound system, and a new roof, among other upgrades. The owners also added a second theater in 1998, now known as the Little Lorraine at 214 East Main. The owners ran into financial difficulties in 2012 and 2013. A former Hoopston area resident, Fontella Fraley Kraut, bought and donated the buildings to the foundation. Today, the Lorraine Theater is open for live events, and the Little Lorraine shows movies regularly. Renovations continued at both venues. Recent updates to the Little Lorraine provided tables for theater patrons and opened options for pizza and a movie and breakfast and a movie events. If you haven't visited these theaters recently, there are many upcoming opportunities. This weekend, the Little Lorraine is showing the family movie Spies in Disguise. Friday at 7 is a pizza and a movie event. Place your pizza order when you buy your ticket, and it will be delivered during the show through another Hoopston small business, Pizza King. Additional movie-only showings are Saturday and Sunday at 3 p.m., and admission is $5 for adults and $2 for children with pizza, an additional $5. And finally, from Community Briefs, Sons of the American Legion at the Cayuga American Legion plan an all-you-can-eat catfish fry from 4 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Adults will be $10, and children under 12 will be $5. And that, unfortunately, is all the time that we have for today, Tuesday, March 10th, 2020. My name is Greg. It's been a pleasure to read for you, and I hope you have a great day. Take care.